Our New Testament reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. Listen to God's word. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing clearly the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, light will shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Hear the words of the Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, they looked around and they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was wonderful to have a week off, and I'm so appreciative of the staff that we have in this church that can carry on far better than I can, for sure, but also how you all just came and rallied around and made sure that everything was okay. It's great to get away, right? In fact, it's pretty biblical that we are to rest and to have rest. And so it was wonderful. Before I went to seminary and all the years that I was teaching school, in my church, I was the youth pastor, or the youth leader. I really wasn't their pastor. But I did, in the Methodist church, we call it MYF. We're supposed to call it UMYF, but nobody wants to add that U, you know, it's just MYF. It's Methodist Youth Fellowship. Maybe some of you were in youth groups as you were growing up in churches, because I know that there are powerful youth groups in pretty much every church. True? How many of you were part of a youth group as you were growing up? Exactly. And it was so much fun. And then, one of the best times, she said facetiously, was that once or twice a year when we had the R word, the retreat. Awesome if you're a kid, not so much if you're an adult, because it meant two nights with pretty much no sleep, and excitement and thrilling. And yet, even though most people who are youth leaders would say, it's not my favorite thing, some of my most favorite experiences came out of those retreats. It wasn't the fact that we would get back Sunday afternoon and I had to be at work at 7:30 the next morning. That wasn't the most exciting part. But the exciting part was, almost every single retreat, at some point in time, sometimes when it came when I was washing dishes with one of the kids, sometimes it came when we were walking through the woods, sometimes it came around a campfire at night, and sometimes it came in the car rides, and sometimes it just popped out. that one of the kids would say, I just needed to get away. I needed to think. Thanks so much for bringing us. Now, that does not take away from all of the nights that I had stuffed in my sleeping bag, you know, stuff like rocks and sticks and things, because they thought that was hysterical. It doesn't take away the little pranks that the boys did to the girls, so the girls had to retaliate, and the boy, you know, you all have been on retreats, you know how it went, right? But there's something about a retreat. There's something about living your life, but then taking a couple minutes and getting away, taking a couple days, taking a week. We get to retreat, and we get to regroup, and we get to rebuild. Because even in those times, and all of the, and let me just pause for a second to say, I would much rather take a high school retreat than a middle school retreat, just saying. Middle school kids never sleep. But there's just something about taking that time away and being someplace else, not being in your hometown, not being where you can, where you have access to phones and all that, and television, and just listening. I'd like to say that we were always listening for God, but we weren't. We were reestablishing both our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, and many times our relationships with ourselves, because that's what retreats do. They get us away from the crowds, they give us fewer interruptions, and we actually get to pay attention. I love that time. I love that experience, because it helps me sometimes to change my perspective. It gives me some time to think. It gives me some time to let my mind wander. I love retreats. And this was a tiny bit like a mountaintop experience retreat for these guys. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, just the three of them. As I was reading and preparing for this, one commentator said, what happened to Andrew? Do you remember a couple weeks ago when we were reading about Jesus calling the first disciples, and it was Peter and Andrew and James and John, and somehow Andrew, I don't know, maybe he was busy. But Jesus takes these three with him, and they go up a mountaintop. They get away from what they were used to, and they had an experience that my guess is, it remained in their hearts and their lives forever. I can imagine in the years after Jesus' death and resurrection, I can imagine that if Peter, James, and John got together, they would say, do you remember that time when just the three of us were on the mountaintop with Jesus? I love that idea. Jesus had called Peter and James and John to follow him. It's a little tiny bit like Jesus was taking them with him, and they became student teachers. Those of us who have been teachers, we know what that's like. You get to practice. You get to watch somebody else do it for a couple of days or maybe a week. And then you get to take on some of that responsibility. And at first, you know, it was stuff like health class, because, you know, I wasn't going to mess up health class. I didn't get to do the math and the reading until I'd been there for a while and prove myself, because you can mess that up pretty badly. But I loved the student teaching experience where I could just watch and learn. And that's what's happening with Peter, James, and John. They're watching and learning, because pretty soon they get to go and do. Jesus knows that his time on this earth won't be for much longer. And these guys have to get with it, because they needed to follow his example when he left the earth. He would always be in their hearts. He would always be talking to them. He would always be watching over them. But he wouldn't be there physically. They had to learn. They had to watch and learn, because pretty soon it was going to be time for them to go and do. The same thing happens to us. We watch and learn when we're young because pretty soon we had to go and do. And sometimes we think of it as just the things of the house or the things of our job. But what God asks us to do is to think about it as our spiritual life as well. What am I learning so that I can go and do and be for someone else? I loved verse 7. I know you have it memorized, but for those of you that don't, verse 7 says, "Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, 'This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him.'" Listen. Listen to him. We're to pay attention to the words of Jesus. We're to pay attention to what God is doing in the universe. And that's what happens with us in the weeks to come. Lent is a time, is a season of the church when we get to listen. When we get to listen to what God wants us to hear. When we get to listen to what the scriptures say, when we get to listen to those around us, and when we get to listen to our own hearts and what that's about. Lent is coming. It's one of the reasons that I absolutely love prayer stations. I love the fact that I can take my time and I can do it at my own pace. And I can listen to what God is saying to me. I love it, the fact that if there's a prayer station that I think, no, I don't want to do that, it's okay. I can move on. I love the fact that I get to just spend time listening, paying attention. Listen to God. Our whole walk of discipleship is that exact same thing. We're invited into the story of God, into the story of Christ, and we can listen. It's absolutely incredible. Last May, when I had some vacation time then as well, I went to North Carolina. It wasn't about basketball, I promise you. But I went to North Carolina because my niece lives there. And she lives right on the coast down in Wilmington. And when I left her house, I went to my other niece's house in Maryland. Well, you kind of have to just go right up the coast. Well, you don't have to. But it's the best way to see that part of the world. And I'm fascinated by lighthouses. Fortunately, North Carolina has a lot. Most of them are non-functioning. One or two still are. Most of them are closed, and you can't even go in them anymore because they're too rickety, and it's just too dangerous. But you get to kind of sit right outside the lighthouse and look out, whether it's looking into the ocean, which some of them are, or just looking into the shallows. And you get to imagine what that is like and to think what an incredible experience it is for the lighthouse keepers who kept that light going at all times. Now, I know there's this joke about a guy who was sailing in the sea and he kept getting this warning that he needed to move. There was a big light in front of him, and he kept saying, this is my right of way. I get to go. I get to be here. And finally, the voice on the other end said, I'm a lighthouse. I can't move. You need to move. Lighthouses give us direction and keep us grounded. And sometimes it reminds us, you need to move. Maybe not physically, but within our hearts, we need to move. Within our actions around us, we need to move. Within the ways we think about our experience with God, we need to move, because God invites us to move closer and closer and closer. Jesus was a beacon. Jesus wanted to be seen, and Jesus wanted to be trusted, because that's what lighthouses do as well. They can be seen, and you can trust that lighthouse isn't moving anywhere. It's staying right where it's supposed to be. It will always be there. When I get confused and turned around, Jesus is always there. When I lose my way and think I'm in the midst of an incredible fog and mist, Jesus is always there. And that's what we're reminded of in the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration for Peter and James and John was an opportunity for them. It's an opportunity to see a little bit more of who Jesus really is, even though we'll never fully grasp it, no matter how long we live. But we get closer and closer. It's an opportunity for us to say, "Oh, dear God, thank you for loving me in spite of all of the things I've done. And you know, it's just 10 in the morning. Thank you for letting me be here and be present." And I believe that in verse 7, when God says, "This is my son, the beloved, the one that is loved more than anything," I believe that as God says that, God is smiling. "This is my beloved." And I believe that God does the exact same thing with every single one of us, that God looks at us and says, "Oh, this is my daughter, the beloved. This is my son, the beloved." And that God smiles. This little retreat probably lived in the hearts of Peter and James and John forever, for as long as they walked on the earth, for as long as they were in ministry. But then there's the time they have to go back down the mountain and go home. Because retreats, while they're wonderful, we can't live there. Number one, we're human. We would get bored, and it would just be all a waste. But number two, there are things to do. There are people to love. There are people that need to know about the love of God, because they are so alone, and they are so afraid, and they need to know. Retreats prepare us. They get us rested, and then they get us ready to go back to the work that God prepares for us. During this time, as we get ready to roll into Lent, as we go through the weeks of Lent, as we go through some of the disciplines of Lent, may we also see that as a little retreat to renew and refresh us, and especially to remind us that God says, "You are mine, my beloved." Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.